I think the industry in India is still pretty nascent. There is a lot of noise and a lot of buzz, but we don't yet have the kind of investment capital that we really need to make this sector a much more vibrant one.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses, and of course, professionals who are disruptors, yet not in your face. The disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies and ecstasies, and of course, the little joys of work and life. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial and professional journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, YouTube Music, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. For this episode, I'm delighted to have Naina Sabharwal Batra, CEO of AVPN, a leading ecosystem builder that is increasing the flow of financial, human, and intellectual capital from Asia and around the world into the social sector in Asia. The platform connects social investors, philanthropists, and impact organizations across Asia, enabling them to leverage their collective expertise and resources for greater impact. AVPN curates impact communities with increased coordinated action towards specific critical impact fields, bringing in global and cross-regional priorities into local focus, bringing to bear the field needs, knowledge, and policy environment. Under Naina's direction, AVPN has grown from focusing only on venture philanthropy to supporting the entire ecosystem of social investors, from catalytic philanthropists to impact investors and corporate CSR professionals. Naina is a board member of the Global Resilience Cities Network, chair at the International Venture Philanthropy Center, Menzies Foundation, Blue Planet Environmental Solution, PTE Limited, and trustee at Bridge Institute, among others. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Naina. Delighted to have you.
Thank you, Gaurav. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, Naina, let me start off with a very basic, but nonetheless a fundamental question, and which is for my own understanding and the benefit of our listeners. What is impact investing? Importantly, what is not impact investing, Naina?
Impact investing is investing, keeping in mind not just the financial return, but actually the impact that investment will make on society, community, and the planet in general. While every investment can be construed to be an impactful one, it is not that every investment is classified as an impact investment. At AVPN, what we define as an impact investment is one which has the impact that it chooses to create clearly and deeply embedded in its business plan. So by that, I mean that the impact that is created is not something that happens accidentally, but actually is intentional and well thought out. And really the investment is focused on delivering that impact alongside any financial returns that might occur as a result of that investment.
Absolutely. No, thanks for setting that context, actually. You know, let me just come to what specifically what AVPN does. AVPN says that it is committed to equipping more social investors in Asia and to step up and collectively move capital towards impact and to address the SDGs specifically for Asia. The platform, as I said before, connects social investors, philanthropists, and impact organizations across the continent, enabling them to leverage their collective expertise and, of course, resources for greater impact. Just help me understand this. How does this work, Naina?
Good question, Gaurav. So I actually like to start out by saying that AVPN is a very unusual network. Most networks get people together and they create a platform for convening. AVPN also does that, but then it goes beyond to do much more than what most networks do. So AVPN connects, like a lot of networks, but it also helps people on that network learn from others who are on that network by proactively sharing insights, sharing models, sharing best practices from across 33 countries, which is where our members come from. Then AVPN goes even one step further by actually creating an environment and providing specific opportunities for our members to act on those insights and the connections that they have made to really looking at how they can deploy capital. So when I say we are an unusual network, what I really mean is that we don't stop at just getting people in a room together, exchanging great ideas and getting energized by each other. What we actually try and do is push them towards action, push them towards opportunities and investments that will actually help move capital outside the door. We all talk about the SDGs, and 2030 is coming up, and we are more than $1 trillion behind each year in terms of the capital that is needed to meet these SDGs. With 66% of the global population living in Asia, if Asia does not meet the SDGs, no one is going to meet the SDGs. So, in order to do that, we need to really move resources, dollars towards actually funding these solutions that will help us meet the SDGs. And AVPN tries to proactively do that while bringing people together and learning from each other. So that's how we are different as a network.
Absolutely, Naina. What I would also be interested in knowing is a bit of your history, AVPN's history, but more importantly, how has it evolved in terms of how has the area of work evolved, expanded over the years? And as an addendum to that, what are your primary impact areas and what goes behind choosing those? What are the key determinants of that decision making?
So AVPN was formed in 2012 by an American gentleman who had founded a similar network in Europe in 2005. It was originally formed as a network to look at increasing the spotlight on venture philanthropy, which is really looking at how you do philanthropy, keeping business principles in mind. I joined AVPN as their CEO in 2013 and realized quite quickly that venture philanthropy was not something that resonated very deeply in Asia. It's interesting because while Asian countries, India included, have a long and rich history of philanthropic giving, we keep our business very separate from our philanthropy. It's almost like the left brain and the right brain. With the left brain, we look at making money, and with the right brain, we give money away to look at probably a better afterlife or getting more karmic credits. So venture philanthropy as a term did not really resonate. And we decided very quickly to kind of, broaden the scope of that network to really looking at different types of capital and how those different types of capital could come together to really have positive impact. Another thing I'll tell you is that, I was very clear, having grown up in Asia, even though I went to school in the US, that, we have a very rich tradition of giving as well as our own unique way of doing business here in Asia. And just blindly copying something from the West is not, an idea that resonated deeply with me or with my colleagues who had joined AVPN in the early years. So the idea was really, how do we create a network that is very Asian in its identity that focuses on what we need here and how do we leverage from our learnings across the Asian continent. So how does somebody in Indonesia learn from what has happened in India? How do we create a knowledge exchange or a partnership between the Philippines and Malaysia? So how do we sort of now actually even look at what's happening in Saudi Arabia with what has happened in Bangladesh? And is there, areas of commonality or areas of uniqueness that they can work together towards? So the network as such did something which doesn't really exist. It created these pan-Asian bridges, if you want to call it that, where we could not only exchange ideas, but you could also exchange funding opportunities, failure stories. How do you actually go to scale? How do you work with government, which is not something that happens very often in the West, to really scale your impact? You asked me, how do we prioritize or what are the thematic objectives of AVPN? We started out as being very agnostic towards the cause areas our members were focused on, and initially really concentrated on how they gave and how could we help them be more strategic, more multi-year in their commitment, how could we actually bring in an element of metrics into how they measured their impact, etc. But we also found that there were specific areas that were of common interest for our members. This included education, included health, included climate, and gender. So those were the four thematic areas that we really focused on because we found that these were not just the key areas where our members funded in, but were also the key challenges that were being faced in most Asian countries. So we have therefore created thematic platforms around climate, gender, health and nutrition, and looking at youth and livelihoods.
You know, since you talk about climate, health and gender-related challenges, what are the most significant challenges in these three areas, climate, health and gender, gender areas, you are currently addressing through your impact investments, Naina?
So, Gaurav, climate is a huge issue in Asia. We have the most number of climate disasters. We have it's related a lot towards poverty, the great amount of income inequality that exists. When you look at climate change and the effect on agriculture production, just think about a country like India, where this is hugely, it affects a very large number of our population. What we have really looked at through our impact investments have been supporting investments in the area of climate, specifically around looking at weather projections, looking at how do you invest in better projects that actually benefit farmers directly and remove the middleman out of the equation, where the farmer actually is the one that is reaping the gains of his or her investment. An example I will give you is that one of our members in India called Ankur Capital is an impact investment fund that focuses on investing in deep science innovations and projects. One of the examples that they have invested in is Cropin, which is a software that actually helps farmers look at weather projections and plan their crops accordingly. This has been one of our most successful impact investments and has had huge positive impact on the lives of people that it actually affects. If I think about gender, one of the things our pooled fund on STEM education has done is really look at investing in organizations like Mantra for Change, which established 15 low-cost science labs in underserved rural schools in India. And within months, we found that these labs transformed student outcomes with significant improvements in STEM comprehension and assessment scores. The idea is to get more girls and women in STEM, not just actually completing STEM education, but really looking at keeping them, attracting them to STEM jobs and keeping them into STEM jobs. So as I was telling you, Mantra for Change, a female student from one of these schools actually secured a National Robotic Award. And then this, you know, led to her attracting additional funding as well as more partnerships, which really actually shows you that if you can come together in collaborative funding models, if you can actually share some of your success stories and your failures, you will also attract other investment. So those are a couple of examples, Gaurav.
You know, Nana, since we are talking about impact investing, tell me a bit about the landscape of impact investing in India. To be fair, impact investing seems to be creating the right noises in India. But that said, as a skeptic, I mean, some skeptics would say and point out that most of these are not really impact investing in the technical sense. What's your view?
Gaurav, I think it's I think there is some merit to the criticism. And one of the biggest reasons for the criticism on impact investing is that the metrics used to evaluate impact investments are often qualitative in nature and therefore very subjective. You don't at this point have universal impact metrics that are, you know, let's say comparable to accounting standards or even comparable to the environmental metrics used in ESG, for instance. So what then happens is that when you are evaluating these metrics, you sometimes feel that, okay, you know, I'm hearing of stories, but I'm not really, really seeing what is the kind of measurable quantitative impact that my dollars or rupees in this sense are actually having on the investment. There is also this kind of conundrum in investors' minds whether or not impact investing takes the place of philanthropy. And therefore, are you looking at getting a discounted return because you are, you know, focusing so much on impact, which unfortunately tends to drive away investors from really looking at impact investing. The third challenge that happens is that, you know, when you really look at investments that are clearly focused on impact, and as I mentioned in the beginning of our conversation, that have impact deeply embedded in the business model, they tend to be small and they haven't really achieved the kind of scale that, you know, a more commercial investment could have achieved. And therefore, they do not attract larger quantums of investment capital. And they depend very much on smaller sizes, which come from, you know, philanthropic budgets or, you know, very, very small sort of allocations of portfolios of investors and are unable to go to scale unless and until they can, you know, really demonstrate a big sort of financial stability or robustness. What has happened, in fact, for a lot of these impact investors is that it has resulted in the impact entrepreneur being forced to kind of shift his or her focus from impact to achieving financial sustainability and scale. That's the reality of the sector at this point. And it is important for us to really look at being more patient and maybe getting more institutional capital to support impact investors to a point where they can attract more private investors, private capital to come in so that, you know, they can really grow to their full potential. I'll tell you, there are a number of, you know, very, very positive impact investments that do exist in India. I went to one of the showcases that NABARD had with Axis Bank Foundation, And some of these were actually remarkable. They really kind of put into highlight what we call frugal innovation, because they are centered in the communities where the entrepreneurs have grown up in. They use local materials. They come up with extremely high degrees of innovation. The idea, though, is that they are unable to really go to market because they don't have the capabilities to attract capital to pay for cutting edge marketing and communications, or cutting edge, you know, IT, or even sort of, you know, a top-notch CFO. So they stay at the small end of the spectrum. And at the other hand, you have, you know, large scale infrastructure investments that, you know, often take the garb of impact investments. And that's where, you know, it is a bit of a conflict, because while infrastructure investments are needed and they do create impact, they are infrastructure investments. They are not really the kind of impact investments we are talking about when we say that, you know, you're looking at poverty alleviation, or you're looking at, you know, changing something with regards to gender norms, or you're really even looking at climate change. So I think the industry in India is still pretty nascent. There is a lot of noise and a lot of buzz, but we don't yet have the kind of investment capital that we really need to make this sector a much more vibrant one.
Absolutely, Naina. And it's, I'm glad that you talked about ESG, because ESG also has been, you know, kind of made the new has made hit the headlines for a couple of wrong reasons too, because there's a lot of greenwashing, or rather allegations of greenwashing, that seems to be taking place in ESG. But as you said, these are early days, and as we get along, the rough edges will be ironed out. Finally, how does your organization measure and communicate its long-term impact and sustainability for all the impact investment that you do and all the other other activities that you carry out, Naina?
So Gaurav, we actually are, you know, measuring our own impact in terms of how our members really deploy capital for us. As you started out by saying, our mission is to move capital towards impact. And we really measure that year on year in terms of how much capital have we been able to move through the AVPN network and through our members on our platform. That is one very clear quantitative metric in terms of how we measure our own impact. In addition to that, we also measure our impact as a network in terms of the kinds and qualities of connections that we are able to make. What do those connections actually result in terms of how they are, you know, able to create opportunities or partnerships to actually drive impact. We collaborate very specifically with an organization called Impact Intelligence Unit to measure our own impact as well as the impact of our members. In addition, we have a partnership with Bluemark Guideline and with Sattva to look at impact metrics and how we can actually apply them to ourselves. As I said, unfortunately, there is no universal metric. And I'm hoping that, you know, instead of arguing about which metric is a better one, we actually all agree on one metric that we can all, you know, use to measure our own impact, because otherwise we are comparing apples and oranges, and it is difficult to say, is AVPN more impactful than someone else?
Absolutely. Very well said, Naina. And also, absolute delight to host you here for this show. Thank you so much for taking the time out and sharing your deep insights and perspectives on a range of issues, from impact investing to measurability, and how Asia and India can go about addressing SDG goals, and how what AVPN is doing in that respect. Thank you so much, Naina.
Thank you, Gaurav. It's been a pleasure.